Welcome to the Andrew Lee Show. I'm your host, Andrew Lee. Today we'll be introducing a good friend of mine, Micah Perello. He works for a financial wellness app directed at helping Americans budget and avoid overdraft fees. Today we'll be talking about fintech, COVID-19, and especially remote work. Hope you enjoy. Hey Micah, tell me a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure, absolutely. So I started off working in freelance video production, and I've done that for about 7.5 odd years. And my typical clients range from nonprofits to startups, and I'll handle anything from product videos to user testimonials, short form documentaries, and even social media based ads. So I've been doing that for a while, and I do that now currently in-house for a small fintech startup.
Nice. So what do you do now in regards to the COVID-19?
Obviously, COVID-19 has affected most, if not all, businesses. And the ones that are able to stay up and running have to adapt to kind of the surroundings and what's going on. My company particularly, we did a little less with the marketing aspect, and we're kind of working on more of supporting our users. So a lot of companies, and you can see that from just go to any website and you'll see a tab that typically does say, hey, here's how we're helping out. Here's how we're supporting either their own users, if it's a company that does produce items, or even intangibles in terms of supporting their local community or industries, or even just the environment itself. So there's this big emphasis on kind of this corporate social responsibility, and that's what that's being preached about. And we've done the same thing too. We're providing resources in the form of blogs, in the form of providing more information. A lot of companies have been lenient in terms of their payment schedules, and you'll find that across the entire board, including the U.S. government, also lending aid in that way through obviously different ways. So yeah, it's definitely something that you don't want to happen in the first place, but it's encouraging to see other companies step up and provide other resources and adapt and change while this crisis is still evolving.
Definitely agree with you, Micah. To add to your point, I've seen some virtual communication companies taking the initiative to offer their services for free, or even making a customized plan as an effort to keep social distancing, and most importantly, to bridge the gap of communication between friends and family. To that point, how has your routine changed working remotely?
Well, I think like all Americans that have adapted to this, it does take a little bit of a learning curve. There is this aspect of communication that has to be refined, and it's something that you just have to, you're forced to do. And it really does make a difference in terms of collaboration. It's not, you can't just walk over or talk to a certain department or speak with a person for a question that'd be answered in 3 seconds. You're going to have to message them and then wait for the response. So there's definitely this aspect of lag. And, I think that's the biggest transition, is that I can't go and I can't talk to someone and move on with a project, let's say. So there's definitely more of this aspect of over-explaining rather under-explaining, as everyone does get on the same page. So it's tough, but it's not impossible to do.
Great answer, Micah. So continue on with the topic of remote work. What advice can you give to our audience just getting started?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes with accountability and scheduling. So you want to be able to still maintain your regular routines in terms of when you're waking up, maybe when you're eating your meals. It's very easy to slip into a schedule because the days are so, they're just indistinguishable at times. So, routine is very important. Accountability is too. If you're not someone who is able to instantly take initiative and work and get distracted easily, call on a friend, call on a colleague to kind of hold you to those regards to be able to continue with your work. But I think that's the biggest thing, just maintaining that routine.
Great answer, Mike. I couldn't have said it better than that. So what are you most excited about in fintech?
I'll tell you what. So I never really expected to come out and work in fintech. I'm definitely happy and blessed to be working in this environment right now. I think fintech is a very unique industry because you're taking these concepts that kind of fell between the cracks from what larger banking institutions or financial institutions haven't really taken a look at. And you see, the banking industry is very old, and there's not really been companies to kind of assist in other areas where maybe they're lacking of. And so you do see these companies, whether it's financial wellness, whether it's companies that are trying to users who maybe can't afford general banking offerings. So let's say stocks, or let's say microloans, and you see these fintech companies pulling in the gap and kind of bridging the ability for every American to have this ability. You know, you no longer are the days where you have to have a huge portfolio of money to trade stocks. You could do it on $10. You know, you don't have to take out massive loans now. You could take smaller loans out with little to no interest through these more of these fiduciary based companies. So that's the exciting part, where we're trying to equalize the playing field. You know, finance should not be scary. Finance should not be something that is only for the rich and wealthy. It should be given everywhere. And I think the most important thing is the literacy. And that's what I think is the most enjoyable aspect, is how we're really, I mean, all these companies out there are really promoting that aspect of financial literacy.
Awesome, Micah. So what do you think are some of the concerns in the fintech industry?
You know, it's hard to say. I don't really see the risk side. Obviously, there's a risk with any company. There's risk with any startup, and particularly finance as well. So it's hard for me to really speak on that. But, you know, I think you just take the risks of any other company trying to start off, and, you know, that's there. But yeah, I wouldn't be able to answer that.
Gotcha, Micah. Completely understandable. So let's move on. What are some of your creative processes at work?
You know, I think it depends on the project that I'm attached to. So I'm very passionate about sort of storytelling in a digital format. I really like a documentary-based layout when it comes to producing videos, but a lot of my work isn't rooted in that. So it's, you know, I do find time to still be able to produce and be creative with the work I create, even if it's not something I'm extremely passionate about. But that's what you really have to do, though. When you take any job or any role, you have to take it for stride, and you have to give it the refinement that it deserves, regardless of whether you think it's creative or not. So that's kind of how I approach every project.
Well said, Micah. Everything has its ups and downs, but you have to do it. So are there any side projects or passion projects that you'd like to talk about or mention?
So about 3.5 years ago, I started a lifestyle blog with one of my close friends, and we've grown that quite a bit on Instagram. And it was more or less a narrative formatted base blog, where we would interview subjects and tell their story in a very short one paragraph blurb, and accompany that with a photo. And it was trying to combine this aspect of, you have this photography elements, you see the subject and you hear their story, and you want to be able to draw upon their quick story, their quick blurb, and see if that kind of resonates with you. That's at least what we're trying to do. We're building off of that, and we're going to change the format to be more of a production based angle. So we want to be able to tell these stories that we used to with individuals, and instead tell the stories of different companies that are starting off. And whether that be a startup, whether that be a nonprofit, we want to give a microphone to some of these smaller companies who are up and coming and don't have a chance to really make their impact, so to speak. And we want to bring them to the limelight. So that's something that's going to be coming up in the next few months. You know, we'll see what happens, of course, as the coronavirus pandemic evolves. It's hard to tell exactly what's going to happen, but you know that's in the works right now. It's Alan and Aid. You can follow us on Instagram right now, and we're having some stuff coming up in the future.
Okay, that's cool. So then you're basically advertising for startups. Like you're an advocate for startups and the small guys.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I could foresee a company like the one I'm working for utilizing our services. So it's definitely always been a passion of mine in the startup sphere. I've been working with startups since 2013. So it's definitely an area I still think is very important to the economy, very important to the climate of how businesses are built.
Hey, Micah, this was a great conversation. Where can people go to find more about your work?
Sure, yeah. I don't do a lot of freelance work anymore. A lot of my time is occupied with my current company and then with my upcoming project. But I always love to take on a project if it's something unique, something interesting. My website's mparello.com. You can take a look if you like what you see. Feel free to shoot me an email and we'll talk from there.
Well, fantastic, Michael Perello. Thank you for your time. This has been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
No problem. Today's guest was Michael Perello. He works for a financial wellness app directed at helping Americans budget and avoid overdraft fees. You can also check out our show notes at andrewjlee.info/MicahPerello, where you can find links to resources where you can dive deeper into the topic.